Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a mom and a book coach.
Welcome to Mom Writes, where we aren't slick, we aren't fancy, but we are real. This podcast is all about our coaching journey, writing a book from start to finish. It's real life writing, done at the kitchen table or in our spare 15 minutes between work and school pickup. This is how we get it done. It's the dirty laundry behind writing with kids. If you're interested in more information about Author Accelerator and the same coaching program we use, visit Jenny's website at www.authoraccelerator.com.
Today, we welcome the incomparable Julie Arts to the show. Not only is Julie a writer and a mom, but she is also one of the wonderful book coaches at Author Accelerator. She has held a leadership position in her regional SCBWI, or Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and she is one of the talented mentors you can find on Twitter. So, Julie loves to talk all things middle grades, just like I do, and today she and I are discussing the differences between middle grade and young adult. So if you find yourself at a loss for which category you might fit into, if you write for teens and tweens, that is, hopefully you will find today's conversation enlightening. And trust me, Julie knows her stuff. So without further ado, let's welcome Julie Arts to Mom Writes.
All right, so today Melanie has a kid with hoof and mouth. I keep calling it hoof and mouth. She's probably going to slap me next time she sees me. Hand, foot, and mouth.
Hand, foot, and mouth. Yeah, I remember those days.
Oh, so we might have to Skype her in here when she gets back. She's waiting for the doctor's note that says he was supposed to fax it to her that said her kid can go to school so she can take him to school and be home free. So we'll see. She might text and say she's ready, but otherwise it might just be me and you today, which is also fine because we're the middle grades people, and I know we have some middle grades questions that we can talk about. So
I have a little stack of middle grade books on one side and of YA books on the other side. And my little notes that
nice.
I made. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the thing that we were going to talk about today, so that listeners know, I know sometimes I'm really bad at just like jumping right into the middle of a conversation. And then I realize I have to sort of back myself up in the intro and set the whole thing up. But so everybody's kind of on the same page. I'm part of a writer moms group. And in it, one of the writers, who I believe she's a new writer, asked the other day how to tell if the book that you want to write falls into the middle grades category or the YA category, which I think is a really great discussion because when I started my current work in progress, I knew I wanted it to be middle grades. Because I really felt like YA dealt with a set of issues that I wasn't comfortable dealing with. There was no violence in my story. There was nothing really graphic. I really actually didn't even think there would be a lot of romance in my story. So sex was off the table, or anything that was headed towards sex was sort of off the table. But here's the funny thing. Now that I'm writing it, there is a little bit of romance in my story. And because I'm for middle grades, I'm stopping myself at, can I write about a first kiss? Like, is that – so, Julie, you're my person. Like, can you write about a first kiss in middle grades?
I think you can definitely write about a first kiss in middle grades.
Okay.
So two examples that jumped immediately to my mind were Barbara Dee's Star-Crossed and Rebecca Stead's When I Reach You. They both have first kisses and a little bit of romance. I mean, I think the important thing or the thing that I always joke about is that it's awkward first kisses.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there is definitely awkwardness going on in my story.
Like, it's not like the, you know, the Princess Bride true love and the like swept kiss at the end, but I think they're definitely, I mean, you know, in middle school kids are definitely starting to discover
boys and girls.
That they're interested in a little bit of romance, but it is very much at the beginning stages. And I think that, you know, a middle grade story where romance was the central element, I don't think would work. Although in Star-Crossed, the thing that I loved about that is it's a girl actually discovering that she has a crush on another girl. And the setting is all about it takes place as they're practicing for a play, Romeo and Juliet, which
I was going to ask if that's what it was.
The Star-Crossed. So it is, I would say it's not the only, theme in the story, but it's definitely an important one. And, so that's probably the most romance driven
middle grade
that I've seen. Still, in terms of the actual physicality, it's very, very innocent.
Right.
And there's a couple kisses.
And that's sort of like what Jenny and I were talking about last night, which we totally should have hit record while we were Skyping about this. I was so dumb not to just like hit it so that we could somehow maybe merge that into here. But, you know, one of the things that she said to me, like, if I can brag on myself for a second, since I didn't get her on Skype saying it, but she had said to me, one of the things that I have been good at with the writing is hitting those emotions that the middle school kids are feeling. And I said to her, well, I don't remember anything about the academics in middle school. Like, the only thing I remember about middle school are the social issues that come up, friendship issues. You know, I was super boy crazy, but also didn't know what to do with myself as far as boys were concerned. And these were all the things that I really remember about middle school. I mean, I know I learned pre-algebra, and I know I learned how to diagram sentences, you know, and I know I learned all those things. But that's not what sticks out in my brain when I think about that age. And so what I've really done is tried to tap into the things that were really important to me, you know, when I was in seventh grade, when I was in sixth grade. And so that's what I think about, even though middle grades books cover, really, I think that's the hardest thing about middle grades is they can really span a whole group of ages. I mean, my daughter, B, who's in second grade, who can read a chapter book on her own, you know, is reading technically something that's middle grades, but no first kisses. She would throw that book right down. I'm just going to say that. She'd say, Mom, this is super embarrassing.
Yeah.
But it's more a Magic Treehouse, that sort of thing is what she's into. So I guess, you know, with the mom that was asking the questions about middle grade and YA, I mean, really, I feel like there's a whole spectrum in there where you could technically fall that covers everything from Magic Treehouse. I mean, where would Junie B. Jones even fall, Julie? I mean,
I think people say, pretend that there are three children's categories: picture books, middle grade, and YA. But there's really a lot more than that. There, even with picture books, you really have your kind of baby books, like the board books that maybe have no words or very few words. And then you have things for sort of the three to 5 year old set. And then you even have a little bit longer, more detailed picture books that are more like the ages, I don't know, 4 to 6. And then from there, you really jump into chapter books. And that's what you're talking about with Junie B. Jones and Haunted Library and the Magic Treehouse series. And there's a couple of different formats for that, like a little bit shorter read on your own early readers, and then more of a chapter book style like Jeannie B. Jones, but that they're usually a series. They're usually really short, and you can possibly read an entire book to your child, like at bedtime or something like that, or at story time. So, and then with the goal of them eventually being able to read it on their own. And then even middle grade and YA, I feel like are both becoming subdivided into like lower middle grade and upper middle grade, which is sort of, you know, 8 to 10, and then 10 to 12 or 13 for lower and upper. And even in YA, you have some YA that's younger YA with a 14, 15, 16 year old protagonist. And then you have stuff that's really upper YA where the kids are really at the end of high school, or even I'm thinking of when Dimple Met Rishi, they're actually just after, it's just the summer after they've graduated. So they're headed to college. So that's really like the kids are older, and the things that they're going through and experiencing as a result are a little bit more adult than something where the kids are sophomores or juniors in high school. So I don't think it's as black and white as it used to be. Yeah. And the recent popularity of books like Harry Potter or the Hunger Games or whatever, they've really blurred the line further. And you do get kids that are reading up. I mean, my kids are in sixth and seventh grade, and granted, they're very precocious readers, but they're reading tons and tons of YA right now. And actually even some adult books. I mean, I'm screening a lot of it because, like you said, my daughter, if there's too much romance, she'll just put it down, or she'll skip over those pages. She's just not into it. She's 11 and she's
not there just yet.
So I think my son is reading it and then being a little bit awkward and embarrassed by it, but he's still reading it.
But he's taking notes in his brain, right?
Right. So I do think that there is a lot of, and there are a lot of teens that are reading middle grade because there's so much good stuff going on in middle grade right now too, right? Like books like Wonder. We were just talking at writing group last night about how teens are really into Wonder. They made it into a movie. It's a beautiful book. And I do think there's crossover like that. And so that makes it even harder for writers who are trying to come up with what the rules are so that they can get something that they're writing published, like how to follow the rules when there are all of these rule breakers and blurred lines. I mean, I'm thinking of The Girl Who Drank the Moon, the major award-winning book from Kelly Barnhill. It's technically middle grade. There's multiple protagonists, and only one of them is middle grade aged. There's an adult witch who's a point of view character. There's a teen to early 20s guy who's a main character, a point of view character, and the little girl. So in a lot of ways, it breaks rules that would make me even question whether it's middle grade, and yet it won the Newbery, and
that's where it is.
All-time favorite books. So
I guess when I'm thinking about this, you know, we had like two whole episodes in the podcast where I flopped like what age my main character was going to be. Like, and I at first it was like, well, should they be 10 or should they be 12? And then it was like, well, let's split hairs. Should we be 11? Should we be 12? Should we do 12? Should we be 13? And like, we went through all these intricacies about like, well, what age and what are you going to cover and what are you going to do? And finally, Jenny said to me, like, you have to pick someone. You have to make a choice. You have to pick it. And then you have to define who that person is and sort of write to that person. And don't worry about, are you isolating these readers or isolating those readers? Like, you want to isolate readers in order to, as odd as it sounds, speak to everyone. So like, she used Harry Potter as an example. Like, when the story starts, he's what? He's like a 13-year-old boy. So
11,
you know, he 11?
You get your letter for Hogwarts when you turn 11. So he's very young.
Very young. So you start you think, well, am I isolating readers because I'm writing about an 11-year-old boy? Well, she did it so beautifully that, I mean, I don't know how old I was when I first read Harry Potter. I was old enough to be on the beach in Rio de Janeiro, because that's where I was sunbathing on the beach in Rio when I picked up my first Harry Potter book. So, I mean, I was like out of college, and here I am on the beach reading about this 11-year-old boy. And, you know, by making very conscious decisions that you think might isolate a readership, what you're actually doing is making a stronger story.
Yeah, I don't think that you can write an 11-year-old who doesn't sound like an 11-year-old, like an 11-year-old who sounds like an 11-year-old and a teen and an adult. Right, I mean, you do have to, I think voice is really, really, really important in middle grade and YA. And I think it's pretty clear as an editor, like I can tell when something comes across my desk and they're like, this main character is 16 years old. Well, they sound middle grade, so that's not going to work. Right. If the voice isn't there, you can assign whatever age you want to a character when you're writing it, but they're going to sound like a certain age. And that is the important mm-hmm. thing. So you can say, oh yeah, my character's 11, but if they sound like they're 16, that's not going to work. And even deeper than that, there are definitely some lines in the sand thematically between middle grade and YA, that are harder to
blur.
Ultimately, you can break any rule if you're J.K. Rowling or Kelly Barnhill.
Right.
If you're an author who's trying to get an agent or to debut and sell your first book, you have to prove that you're good enough to break the rules before you can break them. So all of the quote unquote rules I'm going to give today are with that in mind, that we are aspiring to break out with our first book and not, and so therefore probably not in a position where we can break tons and tons of these rules. Because the other thing is, agents and editors, when they're considering your work, want to look at what you've done and know that you know the industry. And so some of these rules are coming from, most of these rules are coming from the industry and what is working right now. And so it's important to demonstrate a knowledge of that, in your writing, which is why you wouldn't have a 15-year-old main character and then be trying to sell it as middle grade, or you wouldn't have a 17-year-old character and trying to be selling it as middle grade, or an 11-year-old character that you're trying to sell as YA. So, I mean, I think one of the big thematic differences is middle grade is still very focused on friends and family being the center of the character's world. And there's a little bit of that break from childhood, like starting to realize the childhood is fading and starting to turn toward adulthood, but it's in the very beginning stages. Whereas in YA, individuality is one of the central things. Like I am starting to cut ties with parents, or my relationship to my parents is changing, and I question more what they what they're telling me or the traditions I've been raised in, and I'm questioning everything and trying to figure out where my place is going to be in the adult world. So that is YA, which is different than middle grade, where that is just like really in the beginning stages, and mainly friendships and family relationships are still the center of the character's world.
I know when I was trying to think about like how to categorize my story, one of the ways that I kept thinking about it was at the end of my story, is ultimately my main character going to find her way back home? Or is my main character trying to strike out on her own? And so, I mean, I felt like that was strike out on your own was sort of YA, you know, like you said, individuality, but I mean, like ultimately for me, I felt like she was still trying to be at peace with home, finding friends, like you said, friends and family being more of a central theme. And so, which was why I chose, you know, I ultimately chose to make my main character 13. I wanted her to be on the higher end of the middle grade spectrum because, so something else that we talked a lot about was when you're choosing the age of your character, if you're thinking about the readers that you ultimately want to target, you want to be at the higher end of that readership because, well, we were saying, if Junie B. Jones is in first grade in her books, a second grader is not going to want to pick up that book and read it because they're going to think Junie B. is a baby. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to be just slightly one step ahead of the readers that you ultimately want to target. I mean, would you sort of agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, kids like to read up. And that doesn't mean that no kid in the history of forever is going to pick up a book that is written about a character a couple of years younger than them. But in general, if the kids are in, if the readers are in middle school, they're not going to necessarily be attracted to a book about kids that are still in elementary school because they're going to be like, okay, I've been there, I've done that, I'm looking forward. They'll read up and even pick up some early younger YA about kids that are just getting into high school. But they won't go backwards. And again, there are exceptions because loads of teens read Harry Potter. And at the beginning few books right. of Harry Potter are definitely middle grade. But later in the series, it's definitely YA.
YA. So, well, and I mean, the whole point of why we read is to figure out what we would do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And so if you've already experienced that situation, chances are good you're not going to want to read about that. However, like if we take the book Wonder, you know, he's in fifth grade in that book, but if you're in high school and you're reading Wonder, you're putting yourself in the situation that you've never been in before.
Yeah. You know? And I think, I think again, that book is exceptional for a variety of reasons. I mean, I think the appeal across age groups, and also just because it's so different than everything that came before. I love that book. So
I ugly cried. I ugly cried. I read it on the airplane and I felt like then I had to explain to the man sitting next to me why I was crying. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just a really good book.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think another sort of line in the sand between middle grade and YA is how the book ends. Middle grade across the board, almost always I can't even think of any exceptions right now, has a feeling of hope at the end. And it's not that YA never can, it's just that it's an option in YA to have a book that doesn't necessarily end, have a happy ending. And I'm thinking Fault in Our Stars, right? Like, spoiler alert, he dies at the end, right? So I do think that there's a satisfying ending to that book, even though it's a very sad ending. But it definitely doesn't have that same note of hope that would be required for the end of a middle grade book. And that also makes it a really, really good thing that J.K. Rowling wrote enough books to get into YA, because the ending of Harry Potter is very, minus that prologue where they're 18 right. years later, a pretty heavy ending.
That's like, super heavy.
Like,
yeah.
You defeat the bad guy, but add in tremendous, tremendous cost. And that is something that I think puts it firmly in YA instead of middle grade, where there, you know, there can, it's not to say that nobody can die in a middle grade book. Obviously there are great middle grade books where people die or where sad things and heavy things happen, but it's just a difference in, the happy ending and the hopeful ending. Well,
and there's a graphic element too that I kind of think about, which, you know, Harry Potter has violence in it, but they're not graphically describing blood or anything that, I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't read enough YA though. Maybe YA doesn't either. I mean, maybe.
Well, I mean, you know, in some ways I would be hard pressed to find a book that's more graphically violent than The Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And I mean, I think that and also nothing against The Hunger Games. I loved that trilogy as well and read it regularly. But it is, it's super, super violent. And so, yeah, that level of violence would not fly in middle grade at all. But the other thing is, You know, and that's another, like, so you can have swearing in a YA book, and the, and editors are not gonna let that fly in middle grade. They're gonna, you can put it in there, but I can guarantee that they're gonna say, nope, take it out.
Oh, you know what? It's
say, like, I live with two middle schoolers, right? It's not to say that they don't say bad words. It's just,
or that they know what they are. Yeah.
Right. But,
so,
but middle grade books get distributed to kids through gatekeepers. And that's another big difference between middle grade and YA. It's going to be a teacher, a parent, or a librarian most of the time that gets the, kids do the talk books about books and will recommend books to each other. But in terms of who actually takes the book and puts it in a middle grade reader's hand, it's an adult gatekeeper. And let's just face it, they're not going to pass on the books with the bad words.
Do you
in them.
Know? So when I was teaching high school, the librarian came to me. I'll never forget this. She said, I have a book that I want you to read, and I want you to tell me if I should continue to keep it in the library. And it was a YA book, right? The Virgin Suicides. She hands me The Virgin Suicides, which at the very beginning, and I don't even remember exactly what the line was, and it was something that I probably shouldn't even say on this anyway, because then I'll have to bleep it out because moms might be listening with their children. I try and censor us a little bit on the podcast here, but she asked me, like, should I keep this book in the library? And I was teaching fine arts at the time, and so I took it home, and I read it, and I brought it back, and I'm like, why would you take this out of the library? Because what I wanted to say was, okay, duh, you big dummy. You ask the fine arts person if you should censor something. I'm like, yeah, the answer is going to be no. I don't care what the book says, you know. But, you know, I think that you have to be really, really conscious when you start putting things like language in, only because if you do want your book to be in school libraries, high school libraries, there are still librarians out there that would look at the language, that would look and cut it right out and not give it to the kids.
Right. No, it's true. And I think that it's true in YA as well as in middle grade, but it's even more important in middle grade that you don't have
books
that are going to make gatekeepers select something else. Because teens do have their own money and their own ways of getting to bookstores and libraries. And
right. And they can still go, oh, I heard about this book called The Virgin Suicides. Right. I'm going to read it on the sly and hide it under my mattress, you know?
Right. But actually, that's a great example. The Virgin Suicides. I love that book also, but it's a good example of another difference between middle grade and YA, which is in middle grade, there can be edgy subjects like suicide, like premarital sex, that sort of drugs, that sort of thing. But in general, in middle grade, those characters are not the main point of view character. So I'm thinking of like Kate Messner's The Seventh Wish. The drug abusing person in that story is the older sister. And so the middle grade point of view character is experiencing the effect on the family that having a drug addicted sister has. And it deals with it in an amazing and really, really important way. But that's different than having the drug addicted character be the point of view character, which could happen in YA and does happen in YA. And that's very important, but it's also a distinction. So you might have, you might deal with mental illness or drug addiction or teenage pregnancy or that type of thing that can come up in middle grade and often does, but it's also often not the point of view character who's experiencing it. It's a family member or someone in the community. And then the middle grade character is dealing with the repercussions of that, but one step removed from the immediacy of having those things happen to the point of view character the way that it can in YA.
So let's see. I know, let me pull back up some of the questions and see if we've covered the things that my mom writer friend wanted to know. Let's see. If a writer had a story concept that could fit into either middle grade or YA category, what advice would you give in trying to decide which audience to target? Should marketability play a factor? So What do you think? Like, I don't know. What do you think about the market? Right? What do you think about the market? I feel like we're talking about the stocks.
I mean, there's no denying that YA has been having a moment for several years now. That it's very popular. There have been a lot of big movie franchises that have come out of some of the really amazing YA books that are happening. And so I think it can be tempting to say, oh, I'm going to write YA because there's such a good market for it. In fact, I attended a session on writing YA a few years back at a conference. And it was a great session led by Daniel Jose Older, who is amazing. Go read Shadow Shaper if you haven't. But it was about YA. And one of the guys that was attending his session, he was like, oh, I'm a lawyer. But I decided that YA is so popular right now that I'm going to become a YA writer so that I can make $1 million. And I mean, we didn't laugh him out of the room, but really inside we were all laughing him out of the room because sure, there are people who have made $1 million writing YA. There's even more than one. But I don't necessarily think that you can make decisions about what you're going to write. So because YA is having a moment and that's going to be your key to making $1 million. I mean, I read almost as much YA as I read middle grade. I love YA. And maybe when my kids are in high school and I have that YA voice around me, I might write YA, but I don't think you can fake it if you, mm-hmm. I think you have it or you don't have it. And I know that for me personally, middle grade voice is what I have. And that's mm-hmm. in part because my kids are middle grade, although I've been writing middle grade since before they were old enough to be middle grade, but it's also because the part of my own childhood that I'm the most connected to or that I'm still thinking about and processing is really still my middle school years. And so
yeah.
I think that's why the stories and the themes that come up for me are middle grade ones. And I also think that I have that optimistic belief in the happy, hopeful ending. And also need to regularly remind myself, despite the darkness of our current world, that hope is possible. And I think that's why I write middle grade instead of YA. And I do think you could take a story and you could say, yeah, this could be YA or it could be middle grade. But if you start digging into the main character, and I think you should be digging into the character before you think mm-hmm. much about plot. I will go on and on about that all day in another podcast. Then I think you will find out really quickly whether it's middle grade or YA. I don't think that I don't think you can just switch it without a serious amount of re-envisioning and rewriting to get that voice right.
Well, you know, I worked for 10 years teaching high school, so you would think that YA voice would be the forefront voice in my mind because those are the kids that I worked so closely with for so long. But it's not like you. You know, those middle school years really, I think, played a big part in, you know, who I became and you know, how to be a friend was like the thing that my mom just harped on. I mean, for years and years and years and years and years. And so I think about that. And, you know, part of the reason why I'm writing my book, and this is going to sound totally insane. Like, it's going to make me sound like a straight up crazy person. So I should probably just apologize right now. But part of why I want to write this book is I think if I die before my girls are in middle school, what would I want to say to them? And so that's what I'm sort of using my book as a way to give a message to my girls as to, you know, all these feelings that you have in middle school are actually pretty normal. Like, you're going to feel like you're not normal, but guess what? This is normal. Hating your parents is sort of normal. Like, and I think I have to write that to remind myself that when my kids are in middle school, it will be developmentally appropriate for them to hate me. But, you know, in the feelings that you might have, like romantically towards someone else, these feelings of how do I how come this girl and I were friends growing up and now suddenly we're not friends anymore? Like, what do I do with those feelings? And that's all kind of what I've worked into my story as a message to my own kids, you know? So I don't know, but I think that's, it makes me feel good to hear you say that you also identify with those feelings. And that's where your voice lies,
right?
Because that's where my voice lies.
Well, and I think, again, the most important thing is that if you're writing for children of any age category, you're writing because you have something that you want to say to those children. You're not, if you're writing because you want to make $1 million, don't write for kids because your heart is not in the right place. Don't... you have to constantly be thinking about the audience for your book, because we know that books in the hands of young readers can change their lives, and it can change them for good, but it can also hurt them and change them for bad. So we need to really be focused on the audience for the books in a deeper way than if we're writing for adults who have already formed their identities and their thoughts about the world and that kind of thing. I mean, we're putting our stories into the hands of people who are vulnerable and still figuring out who they are. And that, to me, is a huge responsibility and something that people who are writing for children should take very seriously.
Definitely. Oh, see, I love this. I love this conversation. So let's do one last question from her, because I know you're busy. I know I'm busy. I know the podcast listeners are busy. I always try and keep it like under 40 minutes, but how do you connect with and get inside the heads of young readers? So that was actually getting inside the head of my character was hard for me. And that took me a little while. But I guess, I mean, I would say getting inside the head of your character is how you're going to get inside the head of your reader. Am I reading that question correctly, do you think?
Yeah, that's how I read it. And I have, okay. I have a couple of techniques that I do. So the first thing I already mentioned, my kids are in middle school. So I am often immersed in that middle grade voice when I'm driving volleyball, carpool, when I am chaperoning a choir tour, I'm around those kids. And I try to be the mom that has everybody come to my house as much as possible. I want the kids and their friends to be here. And I, no joke, do a lot of eavesdropping. So, and I mean, seriously, I used to sit when the kids were in elementary school, I used to sit in the lobby of the school, and, the school that we were at, there was no busing. So you had to come pick your kids up. So 15 minutes before school every day, there were tons of moms sitting there. So I wasn't the lone creepy mom sitting there, but I'd sit there with my notebook. And when the kids would come out, they'd be talking to each other while they waited for their parents to get there. I would just listen to what they said, what they talked about, the way they talked about stuff. And I'm not talking about slang, although that's part of it, because slang will come and go. And the phrases that people are using this year that you write into your book will
date it.
Be used when the book comes out 4 years from now. Mm-hmm. So I do try to avoid slang, but really just understanding the types of conversations that they have and the things that are important to the kids. That was really, really helpful for me in terms of just understanding how to create realistic, believable middle school aged characters. So I do that, and I do spend a lot of time listening to what my kids talk about and what they're interested in and that sort of thing. But also separate from that, like from a craft perspective, you know, once I have all that information, I spend a lot of time before I write anything doing character development, figuring out what's important to the character, what they most want, what happened in their past that made them want that? What happened in their past that hurt them or maybe made them misunderstand things about the world that they live in or gave them issues that they're going to have to overcome over the course of the book? And just sort of asking that character questions about what's meaningful to them and why and how they look at the world. And in that stage, a lot of things that I come up with never make it onto the page. But if you ask me, I can tell you a lot of stuff about the characters that are not that
so it
on the page.
Finds its way onto the page kind of not directly, but very indirectly. And I think we've talked about this before with Jenny, as far as like world building and character development and things like that. You know, I think one of the mistakes that maybe somebody who's starting out writing middle grades for the first time might not realize is kids are actually deeper than you think that they are, you know? And so if you start thinking about your characters, you don't, no one gives a crap what their favorite color is or, you know, any number of inane questions that they might. I mean, kids are deep. They're really deep.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter said yesterday, she was talking about a fight they were having on the playground. It was two of her friends were fighting and she was sort of in between it. And a bunch of other kids were sort of watching and the monitor was off to the side. And B said something along the lines of, pipe down before somebody tells the monitor gets wind. And I guess one of the kids listening said, I'm going to go tell the monitor right now that they're fighting and ran off. And B said to me, well, I planted that idea in their head. She's like, I accidentally grew that flower, Mom. I planted that seed in her head. I accidentally grew that flower, Mom. And then I had to figure out how to weed whack it. And I was like, what? I thought that was pretty sophisticated thought, I thought, for a second grader, you know, to realize, oh, I caused that. I don't know. I think kids are a lot deeper than we think that they are. And that if you can somehow put that onto the page, I think you're going to speak to a lot more kids than if you're just really surface.
Right. And I think the worst mistake that you can make is trying to talk down to your audience. If you can't put yourself in the shoes of a 12-year-old and understand what's important to them and validate it. Like if you're thinking, oh, this is so stupid, they're just a tween, whatever, don't write middle grade because it's not gonna be real. The kids are deep. They're thinking deeply about the world. And in a lot of cases, they're thinking a lot more deeply about the world than I was when I was 12. They're being exposed to a lot more stuff than I was in my sheltered 1980s upbringing. I think it's important to spend time around the kids that are the age group that you're writing for too, because I think you'll find out really quickly that that they're different than you think they are. that they're thinking about more complex and more nuanced things than what pop culture might lead you to believe that they are. So, yeah.
Well, I think this is probably a really great place to end. And I'm hoping that if we're mom rights, you know, I'm assuming that most of our listeners, not all of them, because I've read the reviews and we have people who aren't moms that have listened and said they still, you know, they still take something away. But if you're a mom and you're listening, I hope that you identify with some of this, even if you don't write for kids. So I don't know. But anyway, thanks, Julie. Excellent. I'm so glad you came.
Thank you.
Join us again next time for more fantastic book coaching from Jenny Nash. As a matter of fact, I believe I am the one on the hot seat next, although I'm not sure how I can ever follow in Melanie's broad-shouldered, sinewy wake. My story just seems boring. In comparison, I think I need to spice things up a bit. I'll do my best. So I will see you next time on Mom Writes.